Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Barry Moltz is here. Barry has become a longtime member of our Brain Trust. The last 16 years he's been hanging out with us. But he has his own radio show. He also has books that he's written. You Need to Be a Little Crazy, which he would know all about. He also Bounce. That's another one. And he's a great expert, a great thought leader on small business and entrepreneurship. And we've been enjoying his wisdom for a long time now. He's our good friend, Barry. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. Barry, one of the things you want to talk about today is selling your business. And as we all know, the baby boomer generation, there are millions of baby boomer business owners. And we're all, in the either in or moving toward the fourth quarter of our careers. As a lot of businesses are going to be available, because we're going to go out of them either head first or feet first, one way or the other. And there's a whole lot of people getting ready, thinking about what this topic of selling your business. And it's one that I've been covering now since I've been on the air over 21 years. So when you think about selling your business, getting it ready for sale, what do you think about?
First thing I think about is, are you financially ready? And what I mean by that is, are your financial statements in good shape? Because in any sales process, accurate financial statements really yield a lot of power. So are your profit and loss statements, your balance sheets, your cash flow statements, are they up to date? And most importantly, do you understand what each number on those statements actually means?
One of the most astonishing things that I've discovered over the last 30-plus years of working with small business directly, Barry, is how many people think their business is ready for sale, and they can't produce either one of those documents you just mentioned.
Absolutely.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
I have personal experience from this, because when I sold my last business, I didn't understand every number on the balance sheet, and because I didn't, and there was a mistake, they shaved $1 million off
wow.
the sales price of the business. So for me, Jim, it's personal.
Right. No kidding. So when someone says, "Can I see your financials?" It's not enough to hand them your last tax return. They need
right.
to see that you're managing that business from a current basis. I mean, depending on the size, if it's a really small business, you might be able to get away with quarterly operating and balance sheet, but you can't. But if it's larger, if it's multiple millions in play, you got to have current monthly reports, don't you?
Yeah, and this is a good practice to understand how the business is doing on a monthly basis. And if you can't produce those numbers, it gives the buyer pause that, well, is he or she really running a successful business? They know what they're doing.
Well, and especially when it comes time to you telling them how much you want for the business, they want to believe you've come up with that through some kind of a financial decision. And if you don't have financials to back it up, then they're thinking, well, he or she's just pulled that out of the air.
And actually, Jim, it even gets worse, because let's say you do sign a letter of intent with a buyer. One of the things in the due diligence process is, you better believe they're going to go through with a fine-tooth comb every single number
right.
on those financial statements. I mean, I call it a financial lobotomy, and it's not going to be painless.
Well, and the thing that you have to one of two things are going to happen, Barry. If someone's looking at your business and you can't produce proper records, let's say you've made an attempt, but they're just not good enough. One of two things are going to happen. Either they're going to say, "I don't have time to negotiate with this person and raise them," so they're going to go away. They're going to say, "I don't have time to deal with somebody who's not ready for prime time." That's one bad thing that happened. Or they're going to say, "You know what? I see an opportunity to steal this business." And then they tell you what your numbers are supposed to be. That's kind of what you were indicating, I think, a little bit earlier. And that scenario is not good for you either, is it?
No, it's not, because a lot of people say, oh, great, I can sell my business, for example, for $10 million. That's what the letter of intent says. I will tell you that in most cases, what the letter of intent says is not what you eventually sell the business for.
Right.
Usually lower, because that is what due diligence is all about.
Mm-hmm.
The job of the person doing due diligence is to try to give the seller some kind of haircut in the price because of things they find that are wrong. And if you have good numbers, they can be very powerful to holding the original price.
Well, and it makes the sales, the buyer feel that they can trust. If they look at your numbers and they're solid and they can't find a bunch of holes in it, maybe you've done a little puffery, because everybody gets to do that when it's your baby. You get to brag on your baby a little bit. You get to tell people how beautiful your baby is. Other than that, if they feel like they can trust the numbers, then it's going to make them more likely to give you full value for the business, because these are real numbers. I can take these numbers and go with them. I don't have to discount them day one when I open the doors the first time.
Yeah, and it is, Jim. You're right. It's really all about trust. And if they can trust your numbers, chances are then other parts they're doing due diligence in, they'll be able to trust that well. But you mentioned something that's really important, and why the due diligence process is so difficult for small business owners, because in the end, they're going to find things that they're not going to like. And as you were talking about, they're going to tell you that your baby is ugly and the baby is your business. And that's going to be tough to hear.
That's right. And that's where a lot of deals break down, when you're not ready for prime time, as I said, and the buyer is. They know the question to ask, and when you don't give them good answers, then they're going to tell you your baby's ugly, and oftentimes that's where people part ways, because the seller isn't ready to hear that. And how many times have you seen, Barry, where the seller had to hear that two or three times, and maybe they wind up selling to the fourth person because they actually said, well, maybe they're right.
I mean, I see it all the time. That's why I think you'll be prepared for these kinds of things. The other factor, Jim, that comes in where people are not ready to sell their business is they don't know what they're going to do right after the sale of the business.
That's a really good place.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.